This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm gonna need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Like we say that just about every week right now, but if you're just tuning in because of morbid fascination, that is okay. That is okay right now, because the whole rubbernecking thing, like you want to see a train wreck or a big wreck as you're going by it, see what's going on. I try not to do that on the actual road, but in politics, man, you can't avoid it right now. My gosh, this is Wiggins America. Welcome to the show. A little bit about what we got going on this week. So Old Roy is going to come in just a minute and talk about polls. I'm really looking forward to that because, A, I love polls, and B, I love what the polls are saying right now. Also, you've heard of Dave Ramsey, you've heard of Del Walmsley. Biblical financial advice is really not exactly either one of those, although I think both of them have good principles. Dave Ramsey, of course, is supposed to be like very, very biblical. But if you're looking for somebody local that you want to invest your money in for retirement, do some retirement planning in, and have biblical tenets, this is a good friend of mine, Blake Schutte, who's going to be in and talk about Solomon Advisors and sort of like what is biblical investing, basically, is what we're going to talk about. It's a little bit of a departure from the news. The rest of the time, we're going to talk about the news because it is crazy. Whoopi Goldberg. Not exactly the way that you should start a show this week with everything going on, but I can't help myself with President Poopy Pants.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job. And then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go.
She's just waiting. She's waiting for something to tell her that he can't do the job. I'm not sure what you'd need more than this.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants.
If you know the man is pooping his pants and you go, yeah, but show me that he can't do the job.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
I don't care that he can't put a sentence together or that he's crapping his pants. Somebody show me that he's not capable of the job. What do you need to see to know that he's not capable of the job? My gosh, what a week. This is just incredible. Again, if you're tuning in just because of morbid fascination, I really do understand because I've never seen... Look, this is The View, okay? This is basically MSNBC on steroids on a daytime talk show. The whole show is basically a Democrat, a female Democrat talking point. Like, they just take whatever the White House gives them and they just talk about it like they're having tea. And that's the whole point of the show. That's why it's been on for so long. Like, somebody's bankrolling that thing because it's nobody's watching daytime TV anymore. It's one of the higher rated shows on daytime TV, but that's because daytime TV is dead. So there is still some relevance to the show, but it's just less than it's ever been. I think it's more of a legacy show. That's why we call it the legacy media. It's weird to include The View in legacy media, but they've been shills for Democrats for years, and they throw in one random Republican who a lot of times is kind of a pretend Republican because no real Republican is going to walk into that. And in fact, the only ones that ever have. And we're talking about, when I say real Republicans, like Meghan McCain, she really is a Republican. I mean, she's conservative on a lot of things, but she's not the kind of conservative who you'd throw into a show like that and be like, defend my cause. She's just not. But even she said nobody liked her on the show. They didn't have good relationships because she was Republican, I think. Or maybe they were just all mean people. I don't really know. Check out Jake Tapper, though.
In reality, 72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time. The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night, and I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea, I'm too old.
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old. Keep in mind, that soundbite is supposed to be reassuring to those Democratic supporters who have gone wobbly.
Well, he's talking about the elites who are just catching up to this, what the rest of America has been seeing the whole time. Well, who are you, Jake Tapper? Why weren't you reporting on this for the last 4 years? It's like they're just waking up to this. It's like they've all gotten the approval from Hollywood or something that they can now talk about this issue. They've known it, or at least they should have known it, but they've all been silencing it until now.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
He doesn't think he did. He called into a couple of black radio stations where he said, among other things, this.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to be the first black woman in the Supreme Court. There's just so much that we can do, because together we, there's nothing. Look, this is the United States of America.
He's proud to be the first black woman. Not coherent.
Jake Tapper, you could have been doing this, Joke Tapper. You could have been doing this the whole time, but you didn't. So you're criticizing who? You're criticizing yourself for not doing this for longer? I mean, I really don't get it. I'm glad that they're doing this, but you could have been doing this for 3.5 years, and you weren't. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates opened, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, now we can do what we should have been doing the whole time. And now they're like, look, we're just credible journalists. Now they're saying that they are. Chuck Todd, a host of Meet the Press, said this week that he, in I think this was 2022, one of Biden's top cabinet members, who he didn't name, came to him and said, look, this guy is slipping, and he doesn't really talk to us that much, but when he does, you know, we have no confidence in him, you know, something like that. Basically, the guy's got dementia, and we don't really know what to do about it. 2 years ago, Chuck Todd saying, you know, why didn't his cabinet do something? And this is what all the media is doing. Well, why didn't somebody do something about it? Why didn't you do something about it? You have caused the situation that you're in because you are the Democrat media, and you're now looking around going, gosh, I can't believe we're here. What a terrible spot to be in. Well, if anybody had done their jobs, and I'm not talking about four Democrats, but I mean, that essentially is what it is. But anybody had just done their jobs normally, this wouldn't be a situation that Democrats found themselves in now. Instead, what they did was anytime conservative talk shows like this, like Fox News, like Ben Shapiro, anytime there was any conservative anywhere, even if you didn't have a show, criticizing the president and saying the dude is lost his marbles, they go, no, it's just right-wing talking points. I mean, literally a week before the debate, anytime somebody would play a clip of Joe Biden walking around in Ukraine and saying things that were incoherent at the G8 or whatever, they'd go, ah, these are cheap fakes. I mean, it's literally real video, and the White House was going, these are all cheap fakes, a week before the debate. Then the dam broke. So this is their own doing. Like, as much as I want to go, oh, my gosh, how horrible of a place to be in, You've caused this place for yourself. You wouldn't have been this kind to a Republican. You did this because he was a Democrat. We're going to talk to Old Roy about the polls next. Then we're going to talk to Blake Schuette about what biblical investing looks like if you're at that place in your life, which you probably are. You know, I'm only in my 40s, but I'm doing biblical investing. He's my financial advisor. A little bit of disclosure there. And then we're going to come back at the end of the hour and talk more hard politics, just like we have in this one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Obviously, this is Wiggins America. Old boy is here. We're talking about a subject that he doesn't even know we're talking about. I'm introducing him to it right now. Five sleeper issues that could upend the 2024 campaign.
Oh, okay.
Do you trust the polls, by the way?
No.
Why?
Because their track record in the last 6 to 8 years has been pretty dismal.
2022, I thought, was bad. In most other elections, the only thing they've done wrong is underestimate Trump. The rest of them have actually been decent.
Well, let me put it this way. So, I know you're a big poll guy.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of polls, in my experience, are driven by people who want a certain result. And so, and then there's always been the outliers. There's like these two or three that, well, those, if you look at those guys are legit pollsters. All of these other ones are trying to get a result. So I just generally don't have a whole lot of trust in them. But even those guys who have been, going back to Bush and Clinton, and even before that, there was Rasmussen, and there was another one that was pretty consistently accurate. Even those guys messed it up during Trump.
Yeah, Rasmussen has not had. I mean, they've been okay, but there have been some much better polls than even the ones that typically had been good. And I think the game has changed. I think that's part of the reason it's harder to poll now is that it's about turnout more than it is about how is the nation feeling.
Yeah,
and polls really show a lot about the sentiment of the nation, which I think is showing that people are really fed up with Biden and are looking to Trump just in sentiment. But I don't know what that means for the election, because it's all about just getting your voters to turn out, which in cities, I mean, unfortunately, it's easier for Democrats to do that because their population is more compact. And so they can go around to door to door easier than they can go seek out rural voters who are more conservative. So they've got a distinct advantage there of voter turnout, not to get people to the polls, but to go to them, which is vote harvesting.
Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question before you get to your point on polls, since you're a...
Nope.
Oh, dang.
Well, we're going to get to this. No, go ahead.
Well, so one of the other things about polls that bother me is the math. So we talked to 100 people and 75 of them leaned this way. Well, then they reduce it down to 3 out of 4 Americans. So you've taken a insignificant amount of people. You've pulled it back to even less people, 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then you apply it to a nation of 300 million. It just that math just doesn't seem to work for me. I know that's it's a oversimplified explanation.
Well,
but
no, that's very true. It's not 100 people usually, though. It's 500 is the low end, which still is not a lot of people.
Mm.
And 1,000 to maybe 2,000 is the high end for most polls. And the question is not just how many people are you polling, how are you weighting those people? Because if you have, let's say you happen to call a whole bunch of Republicans, you didn't mean to, but you just did. And so you got, like you said, 75% of people going, well, I love Donald Trump, and 25% of people going, well, I hate Donald Trump. Well, they don't just publish that. They actually will weight it to say, well, those 75% of people only represent 46% of the country. And so this 25% represents 48% of the country. Therefore, we think Joe Biden is actually winning this election because we actually weighted it to what we think voter turnout's going to be. That's the problem these days with polling. And you don't really know how are you talking to these people, because I don't get, I mean, I get poll calls once in a while, but they're from Illinois state politics. They're not national polls. And it used to be all just calling people's phone numbers out of the white pages. Well, that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So the way polling happens is also precarious now. But I still, the reason I look to them is because I just don't know a better thing out there.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
As far as predictive models go, they're still the best, even though they're flawed.
Right.
And they're still, and they still do exactly what you're saying and a lot of other people say, is that they're trying to push opinion more than they are reflect opinion.
Right.
And that depends on the pollster. So there are some that are doing a really good job, others that are push. And a lot of times they're linked to media. So you'll find a random thing that's also a part of New York Times or
right.
CNN New York Times or whatever. And you're like, well, you know, they know where their money's coming from.
Right.
That's why they're doing it. Anyway, gosh, let's just pause there, because I almost want to transition into this segment separately. So we can do that by taking a short break. A little bit of a disclosure to start this interview. Blake Schuette is here. He has been my financial advisor, but also a friend of mine for a number of years. And about, I guess, Blake, about 3 months ago, you said, you know, even though you've been in financial advice for a long time, I think I've been with you since 2008, you said, you know what? All the conversations that you have with people, including me, are about how to do wise investing. And so the name of your company now, and this is why I was like, okay, we got to come in, is now Solomon Advisors. And I was like, oh my gosh, that I know exactly what that means when I hear the name, Solomon Advisors. So you just like rebranded, and I love it, because that's forever. Those are the conversations that we've had about financial advice, is how to be wise with it.
Right.
So Solomon Advisors came to me, you know, as I'm doing my Bible lesson, my Bible study. I try to read my Bible every day. I try to get through the Bible in a year, and I'm doing it chronologically this year. And it's so cool, because you, in the, when you're reading it and it comes to life, it's like, wow, this can relate to today. This type of the way that Solomon became the wealthiest man that ever lived.
Same principles.
Well, yeah, it's the same principles. It had to start with somebody else ahead of him, though.
Yeah.
Solomon,
so the principle is become a king and get as much wealth brought to you as possible. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, that would be wonderful. But his dad, David, was the one that set Solomon up. I mean, a lot of people think, okay, the wealthiest man that ever lived, Solomon in the Bible, right? King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived and the wealthiest man that ever lived. And the Bible even says that no one will come after him wealthier than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's been before him that was ever wealthier. So you think about Bill Gates and all these big money giants today. Nothing compared to the wealth of Solomon and how he accumulated it. But how he did it was estate planning, in a sense. You know, we, in our modern terminology, his dad, David, set him up in such a way that he couldn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought about it. I mean, if you read the Bible, you know, we're in 2 Samuel and in Chronicles. You're reading about David and how he wanted to build this massive temple for his God. He wanted to do something amazing for this God that's got him through all of his whole life. And God says, "No, you don't get to build the temple, but your son can." So David took that and said, "Okay, if I can't build it and my son can, I'm going to make it so that it's impossible for him to fail, and I'm going to start planning for him now.
That's so interesting, Blake, because, and this isn't something that I've talked about with you at all, but, and maybe it's just because I'm 42, and, you know, like, we talk about once or twice a year, you know, on the phone. I think when we went to church together, we were talking all the time.
Right.
But now, you know, we've gone to different churches, and so now it's just like, hey, catch up every now and then. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that one of my goals, as my kids are now 10, 10, and 7, so they're not, you know, they're still right in the middle of childhood,
right?
And we're having a blast doing that stuff. But I'm realizing that a lot of my goal as far as like personal wealth building and like business building, because I do real estate on the side and I do lots of stuff. You know, this is my career, but I know that media is fickle. And I just, you never know.
There
like,
has
you just
to be
never
more.
Know.
There
so
has to be more.
I have all these other things that I dabble in. And I really do it partially because I just enjoy it.
Right.
But I'm realizing the older I get that a lot of what I'm doing, I may never see the full fruit of it, but that my kids will.
Right.
And so I'm trying really hard to not just create wealth for them, but train them in how to use it on this earth to bless God, to do eternal work with it. And I love, you know, it's in this modern society, you always hear about trust fund kids and how they just blow everything and how they're terrible with their money and stuff. But that's a great biblical example of how that's not necessarily true. If you train your child up right and you have the right calling and all these things, like you really can create lasting generational wealth, and not for the purpose of wealth, but for the purpose of being a blessing on this earth.
Well, it's key. I mean, you can see that through David's son Solomon. Yes, he trained him. He said, Solomon, like there was a reason that Solomon asked God for wisdom whenever God said, hey, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Solomon asked for wisdom. It's because his dad, David, instilled in him the principles of wealth. The principles of wealth is not wealth itself. It's wisdom and then wealth.
Yeah.
I'd take wisdom 100 times over wealth, because if somebody gets wealth without wisdom, they're going to spend it all in about a year. You know,
we also see that biblically.
We see it all the time. Yeah. We see it biblically. Well, yeah. And look at Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son. Somehow, the principles of wealth building and wealth accumulation and distribution to the next generation didn't get to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and he blew it all. And so lost a lot of that wealth. So we see, so when I say Solomon Advisors, which is the name of our firm, you know, it's not perfect. We learn from the lessons of Solomon, good and bad. I mean, like literally, I had my managing partner reached out to me and said, hey, this Solomon guy, I'm reading in the Bible where it says he has like 600 wives and all these concubines. Are you sure you want to name your firm after this? And I said, yes, because there's lessons to be learned to not get into greed, to not get into fear. And you know, that's a righteous desire for us to want our kids to be more successful than us.
Sure.
David was a righteous king. We talk about, I mean, if you read the Bible, it says, and David did right in the sight of God. And then we read other kings, and this king did evil in the sight of God. An evil king, an evil desire is to spend it all immediately.
Mm.
Prodigal in the New Testament actually means spendthrift.
No kidding. I've never heard that before.
We think prodigal son is somebody that just goes out and lives in the world. But really what it means is he took his inheritance. He demanded his inheritance from his father before it was ready and before he was ready. And what did he do when he inherited his father's inheritance? This is the prodigal son in the New Testament. He spent it all immediately, went to a foreign country and lost everything. But, you know, that's the principles that I want to try to instill in my kids. Both my kids are young and business owners now, because I hope they're 20 times more successful than
exactly.
me. Just like David wanted his son to be millions times more successful than he was.
Blake, so what is the difference when we talk about being a wise investor, or maybe even a biblical investor? What's the difference between you and somebody who's not? Because my guess is that a lot of investors are using Wise Principles, but you're saying, yeah, but you got to know their source.
You do. You know, there are many, many ways to make wealth. I'm surprised. I live in the greatest country. You and I live in this America, and we see other people come to this country just excited to get into business here because the business opportunities to make wealth are just, they're inevitable. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're you can go anywhere. And so it's not that we do something different than the other guy down the street, but we help people quantify what wealth is and what wisdom is and what do they want for their family. You know, the first step of financial planning is just getting clarity of what you have.
Yeah, what's your situation?
Where are you at right now?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but you can get with a financial advisor and for free, they can help you determine where you are financially. You know, that's not an easy task. It's something that says, hey, we have to see values of everything. Oh, I forgot about this old 401k over here. That's a value. That's something that is growing without taxes. And so that's the first part is just getting clarity around that and then helping people understand that wealth is just a tool. It's a tool that if we get in the wrong mindset of it, it's not wealth that becomes evil. It's the love of that wealth that becomes an evil thing. And so we have to shield from that. We have to continually keep our God as the source. He's our source. You know, I'm a financial advisor, but my first financial advice to people is, well, what does the Bible say you should do whenever you get increase? The first 10% needs to go right back to God. It has to. That's the best investment that you could ever make.
It's so strange to say that because if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, here we go. That is a principle that my mom taught me when I was young.
Right.
And so when I would get an allowance, it was probably $5 a week and I would tithe 50 cents.
Right.
And I just got in the habit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Break. A little bit of a disclosure to start this interview. Blake Schuette is here. He has been my financial advisor, but also a friend of mine for a number of years. And about, I guess, Blake, about 3 months ago, you said, you know, even though you've been in financial advice for a long time, I think I've been with you since 2008, you said, you know what? All the conversations that you have with people, including me, are about how to do wise investing. And so the name of your company now, and this is why I was like, okay, we got to come in, is now Solomon Advisors. And I was like, oh my gosh, that I know exactly what that means when I hear the name, Solomon Advisors. So you just like rebranded, and I love it because that's forever. Those are the conversations that we've had about financial advice, is how to be wise with it.
So Solomon Advisors came to me, you know, as I'm doing my Bible lesson, my Bible study. I try to read my Bible every day. I try to get through the Bible in a year, and I'm doing it chronologically this year. And it's so cool because you, in the, when you're reading it and it comes to life, it's like, wow, this can relate to today. This type of the way that Solomon became the wealthiest man that ever lived.
Same principles.
Well, yeah, it's the same principles. It had to start with somebody else ahead of him, though.
Yeah. Solomon, like, so the principle is become a king and get as much wealth brought to you as possible. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, that would be wonderful. But his dad, David, was the one that set Solomon up. I mean, a lot of people think, okay, the wealthiest man that ever lived, Solomon in the Bible, right? King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and the wealthiest man that ever lived. And the Bible even says that no one will come after him wealthier than he is. Mm-hmm. And no one's been before him that was ever wealthier. So you think about Bill Gates and all these big money giants today. Nothing compared to the wealth of Solomon and how he accumulated it. But how he did it was estate planning, in a sense. You know, we, in our modern terminology, his dad, David, set him up in such a way that he couldn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought about it. I mean, if you read the Bible, you know, we're in 2 Samuel and in Chronicles, you're reading about David and how he wanted to build this massive temple for his God. He wanted to do something amazing for this God that's got him through all of his whole life. And God says, no, you don't get to build the temple, but your son can. So David took that and said, okay, if I can't build it and my son can, I'm going to make it so it's impossible for him to fail, and I'm going to start planning for him now.
That's so interesting, Blake, because, and this isn't something that I've talked about with you at all, but and maybe it's just because I'm 42 and, you know, like we talk about once or twice a year, you know, on the phone. I think when we went to church together, we were talking all the time.
Right.
But now, you know, we've gone to different churches, and so now it's just like, hey, catch up every now and then. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that one of my goals, as my kids are now 10, 10, and 7, so they're not, you know, they're still right in the middle of childhood.
Right.
And we're having a blast doing that stuff. But I'm realizing that a lot of my goal as far as like personal wealth building and like business building, because I do real estate on the side and I do lots of stuff. You know, this is my career, but I know that media is fickle. And I just, you never know.
There like,
you just
never more. Know. There so has to be more.
I have all these other things that I dabble in. And I really do it partially because I just enjoy it.
Right.
But I'm realizing the older I get that a lot of what I'm doing, I may never see the full fruit of it, but that my kids will.
Right.
And so I'm trying really hard to not just create wealth for them, but train them in how to use it on this earth to bless God, to do eternal work with it. And I love, you know, it's in this modern society, You always hear about trust fund kids and how they just blow everything and how they're terrible with their money and stuff. But that's a great biblical example of how that's not necessarily true. If you train your child up right and you have the right calling and all these things, like, you really can create lasting generational wealth, and not for the purpose of wealth, but for the purpose of being a blessing on this earth.
Well, it's key. I mean, you can see that through David's son Solomon. Yes, he trained him. He said, Solomon, like, there was a reason that Solomon asked God for wisdom whenever God said, hey, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Solomon asked for wisdom. It's because his dad, David, instilled in him the principles of wealth. The principles of wealth is not wealth itself. It's wisdom and then wealth.
Yeah.
I'd take wisdom 100 times over wealth, because if somebody gets wealth without wisdom, they're going to spend it all in about a year. You know,
we also see that biblically.
We see it all the time. Yeah. We see it biblically. Well, yeah. And look at Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son. Somehow, the principles of wealth building and wealth accumulation and distribution to the next generation didn't get to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and he blew it all. And so lost a lot of that wealth. So we see, so when I say Solomon Advisors, which is the name of our firm, you know, it's not perfect. We learn from the lessons of Solomon, good and bad. I mean, like, literally, I had my managing partner reached out to me and said, hey, this Solomon guy, I'm reading in the Bible where it says he has like 600 wives and all these concubines. Are you sure you want to name your firm after this? And I said, yes, because there's lessons to be learned to not get into greed, to not get into fear. And you know, that's a righteous desire for us to want our kids to be more successful than us.
Sure.
David was a righteous king. We talk about, I mean, if you read the Bible, it says, and David did right in the sight of God. And then we read other kings, and this king did evil in the sight of God. An evil king, an evil desire is to spend it all immediately. Mm. Prodigal in the New Testament actually means spendthrift.
No kidding. I've never heard that before.
We think prodigal son is somebody that just goes out and lives in the world. But really what it means is he took his inheritance. He demanded his inheritance from his father before it was ready and before he was ready. And what did he do when he inherited his father's inheritance? This is the prodigal son in the New Testament. He spent it all immediately, went to a foreign country and lost everything. But, you know, that's the principles that I want to try to instill in my kids. Both my kids are young and business owners now, because I hope they're 20 times more successful than
exactly.
me. Just like David wanted his son to be millions times more successful than he was.
Blake, so what is the difference when we talk about being a wise investor, or maybe even a biblical investor? What's the difference between you and somebody who's not? Because my guess is that a lot of investors are using wise principles, but you're saying, but you got to know their source.
You do. You know, there are many, many ways to make wealth. I'm surprised. I live in the greatest country. You and I live in this America, and we see other people come to this country just excited to get into business here, because the business opportunities to make wealth are just, they're inevitable. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're you can go anywhere. And so it's not that we do something different than the other guy down the street, but we help people quantify what wealth is and what wisdom is and what do they want for their family. You know, the first step of financial planning is just getting clarity of what you have.
Yeah, what's your situation?
Where are you at right now?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but you can get with a financial advisor and for free, they can help you determine where you are financially. You know, that's not an easy task. It's something that says, hey, we have to see values of everything. Oh, I forgot about this old 401k over here. That's a value. That's something that is growing without taxes. And you know, so that's the first part, is just getting clarity around that and then helping people understand that wealth is just a tool. It's a tool that if we get in the wrong mindset of it, it becomes, it's not wealth that becomes evil. It's the love of that wealth that becomes an evil thing. And so we have to shield from that. We have to continually keep our God as the source. He's our source. You know, I'm a financial advisor, but my first financial advice to people is, well, what does the Bible say you should do whenever you get increase? The first 10% needs to go right back to God. It has to. That's the best investment that you could ever make.
It's so strange to say that, because if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, here we go. You know, that is a principle that my mom taught me when I was young.
Right.
And so when I would get an allowance, it was probably $5 a week and I would tithe 50 cents.
Right.
And I just got in the habit of it. I never got out of the habit of it. And Blake, I tell you, it's not as if we've never had any problems. It's that I look around at some of the problems that I know other people have had, and I know that we've been shielded.
Yeah.
We've never stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And we have, there's just so many things, but there's little things like we had our original house that is now a rental house, and now we do rentals. There was this giant tree in the front yard that was going to fall at some point, but we figured it wasn't on our property, so we thought, well, there's not really anything we can do about it. The tree finally got struck by lightning and fell, and it was causing all kinds of problems in our yard. The roots were killing our pipes and other stuff, but we couldn't cut it down because it wasn't our tree. Finally, and also the house had become vacant because the people living there had died, and I guess the kids took over. Like, it's just been vacant for 3 years, you know, and nobody's doing anything.
Nobody cared.
No. So the tree finally falls, and we know this thing. I mean, there was about 10 ways it could have fallen and hit a lot of things. There was one way it could have fallen and hit nothing. It fell exactly that way when it finally came down. And it's that kind of stuff that I look back on and I'm like, there's no way for me to plan for that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I know that God watches out for us.
He does.
And that's one of the reasons that you're my financial advisor, is because you get some of these principles. And I think, you know, if you talk to Blake and you're like, you know, I don't really know about all this stuff, and you're talking over my head a little bit or whatever, it's okay. I mean, Blake, not every one of your clients is like a born-again Christian.
No.
I mean, you meet with everybody. You're just applying the principles of the Bible to everybody's situation to create the best situation for them.
Right. And some people don't agree with me on that first 10%. I mean, the world's way is so opposite to the biblical wisdom way. And you think about these evil kings throughout the Bible, that the Bible clearly says they did evil in the Lord's sight. Very, very likely they did not start giving 10% of their income, right? Solomon did. Solomon learned from the very beginning. My dad, David, gave more than enough. He was a giver. Everybody knows when you read the Bible, you see that lifestyle of giving was carried on to Solomon. Somehow, though, Solomon missed it to get it to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we see just evil king after evil king. But those principles literally, and you know, when you look at Solomon's life, who knows? I don't know if he'll be in heaven or not, because at the end of his life is when, you know, he really turned away from God. And God even said that to him. He warned him. He said, hey, if you start loving women from other nations like this, and that's going to be your downfall. Listen. And he tried to give him that wisdom, but he didn't listen to it, right? And it's just like all of us. Like, the wisdom is there for the taking. We can choose to abide by it or not.
Yeah. So, we're almost out of time, but when people are listening, and if they're like, gosh, I just need to get things in order. I got all these random threads hanging out there. I probably should have done something earlier. That's what Blake has done for me. You know, we've got some life insurance with Blake, and just some rando accounts from past jobs that I rolled into all under one head. That's what Blake will help you do, among other things. So if people want to get a hold of you after listening to this, they're like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. Like, how do they find you?
Well, it's free to do it. That's what's cool. You can meet with a financial advisor, whether it's me or others. Many of them, their first consultation, it costs nothing. So getting clarity around these things is so important. So the best way is callblake.us. That's actually a link.
That's a website.
Yeah, it's a website.
Callblake.us.
Yeah, okay. It's a link that actually goes right to my calendar. And then it'll have a field pop up asking for your name and phone number. You put those in, and you'll end up picking a time to get on my calendar. My calendar is full, like yours, but there's...
It'll show the calendar.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you'll get on there, because it starts with a conversation. You know, you could go on a website and do all kinds of things, but really, it's a conversation. It takes a conversation, in my view, to help understand and bring some clarity to this complex subject.
And full disclosure, I am not getting paid at all for this conversation. Blake is actually my financial advisor, and I know how many people... I listen to Dave Ramsey. I listen to Del Walmsley. I listen to all these guys. I know how many people need financial help, so that's why I was like, Blake... This is the perfect time to come in. Let's knock out an interview. Tell people what you do, because Solomon Advisors is just such a cool concept for what you've always been doing. So call Blake.us if you want to talk to Blake. Get on his calendar. That's the easiest way to do it. Call Blake.us. And we will take a short break and be right back. Thursday night, the President of the United States decided to do a big boy press conference. Now, I have no idea why they've decided to call that a big boy press conference, but they did, over and over, big boy press conference. It's almost as if they don't, I don't know, are they trying to hurt him at this point? I don't think they really need to, because they do so much backpedaling to protect him that I would have a hard time believing that they were trying to subtly hurt him. They don't need to do that. So it makes me think that they're just not very good at it. But here is what he had to say about NATO. You know, he was there with many other world leaders and trying to assure us that he was not in any sort of cognitive decline at all.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You can beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
What?
Biden claims there's no indication he's slowing down, though. You know, I mean, at least he caught himself on that one.
If I slow down, I can't get the job done. That's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. But there's no indication of that yet. None. Who I got here? Merrick, Pulaski Radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's no indication that he's slowing down at all. Nobody's limiting his schedule. You know, the reports about him only working about 6 hours a day because he just can't handle it much more than that are not true.
There's been reporting that you've acknowledged that you need to go to bed earlier and your evening around 8.
That's not true. Look, what I said was, instead of my every day starting at 7 and going to bed at midnight, it'd be smarter for me to pace myself a little more. And I said, for example, the 8, 7, 6 stuff, instead of starting a fundraiser at 9 o'clock, start at 8 o'clock. People get to go home by 10 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, and if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore.
Yeah, he's doing fine. I mean, this whole thing, again, the whole press conference was to show people that he was doing fine and that he could beat Donald Trump.
I've done, where's Trump been? Riding around in his golf cart, filling out his scorecard before he hits the ball? I mean, look, he's done virtually nothing. And I have, I don't know how many, don't hold me to it, roughly 20 major events, some of them with thousands of people showing up. And so I just think it's better. I always have an inclination, whether I was playing sports or doing politics, just to keep going, not stop. I just got to just pace myself a little more, pace myself. And the next debate, I'm not going to be traveling in the 15 time zones a week before. Anyway, that's what it was about. That's what it was about. And by the way, even with that, I love my staff. But the ad things, bad things all the time. At the very end, I'm catching hell from my wife.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. His wife is definitely, definitely giving him the worst part of the business here. I mean, it's true. I sort of am joking, but his wife really apparently is the one that is insulating him from everybody talking to him. You know, if you were in Congress right now, as many Democrats in Congress are, calling him to step down from the presidency and at least his candidacy. See, that's the funny thing. You don't really know what they're calling him to step down from because they're really, really worried about Donald Trump being president. They don't really seem to be worried about Joe Biden not being able to be president. So, yeah, you should step down as a candidacy for office, but nobody's calling him to step down from office. Or maybe they're two in the same. I don't really know. But they're definitely just worried about the election, not about the office of president, which I'll admit, and I've not really said this before, so it's a weird time to say it now, that if the roles were reversed and this were a Republican president going through this and the Democrats were watching from the outside like we are and going, oh my gosh, this is an absolute a fireball of a campaign coming down. I mean, it's destroying everything in its path. If that were happening and everything was the opposite of what it is, would I still vote for a Republican who is in this position? Yeah, I would, because again, you're voting for ideology. It does concern me. And like, again, with the tables turned, if I were voting for this man, now I'm not voting for Joe Biden, so it's hard to picture voting for somebody in this position. And I know what you're saying. You're going, Ryan, nobody would let it get to this position because the Democrat media would have reported this. That's all true. But I'm just saying, let's say in some situation, somehow, you had the exact opposite thing where Republicans were the ones in the White House and this were the issue for them and Democrats were on the outside going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Would you still vote for the Republican? Yes, but my biggest concern would be that this dude is actually in charge of not domestic stuff as much. Like, the domestic stuff, unfortunately, is run so much by a conglomerate of permanent Washington that a lot of the things you're not really going to notice a big difference if the president's not involved in them, because we've ceded so much control from our elected officials to people who are not unelected. The unelected government, that's the problem. But I would be worried about national security and international relations and wars and things. That does concern me. Even flipping the tables, that's what concerns me the most. Of course, Biden doesn't want you to think that he does have a problem, though. He wants you to know that he and his vice president have things firmly under control.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one, the fact is that the consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again.
Yeah, he's Vice President Trump is going to be on that ticket, and he's doing fine. President Biden wants you to know that he is fine and you should vote for him in November. I have a feeling, though, that these Democrats in Congress and otherwise in media and Hollywood, George Clooney, they can't actually get a hold of the president. I don't think if you're Chuck Schumer that you can actually go talk to Joe Biden right now. I think his wife, maybe his son, have completely isolated him and are running everything where nobody can say anything to him to change his mind. And he's probably not capable of changing his mind now. This is Wiggins America. Get the podcast by typing in Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
And we will take a short break. Thursday night, the President of the United States decided to do a big boy press conference. Now, I have no idea why they've decided to call that a big boy press conference, but they did. Over and over, big boy press conference. It's almost as if they don't, I don't know, are they trying to hurt him at this point? I don't think they really need to, because they do so much backpedaling to protect him that I would have a hard time believing that they were trying to subtly hurt him. They don't need to do that. So it makes me think that they're just not very good at it. But here is what he had to say about NATO. You know, he was there with many other world leaders and trying to assure us that he was not in any sort of cognitive decline at all.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. We're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
What?
Biden claims there's no indication he's slowing down, though. You know, I mean, at least he caught himself on that one.
If I slow down, I can't get the job done. That's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. But there's no indication of that yet. None. Who I got here? Merrick, Pulaski Radio.
Yeah, there's no indication that he's slowing down at all. Nobody's limiting his schedule. You know, the reports about him only working about 6 hours a day because he just can't handle it much more than that are not true.
There's been reporting that you've acknowledged that you need to go to bed earlier and your evening around 8.
That's not true. Look, what I said was, instead of my every day starting at 7 and going to bed at midnight, it'd be smarter for me to pace myself a little more. And I said, for example, the 8, 7, 6 stuff, instead of starting a fundraiser at 9 o'clock, start at 8 o'clock. People get to go home by 10 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, and if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake of in the campaign, in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore.
Yeah, he's doing fine. I mean, this whole thing, again, the whole press conference was to show people that he was doing fine and that he could beat Donald Trump.
I've done, where's Trump been? Riding around in his golf cart, filling out his scorecard before he hits the ball? I mean, look, he's done virtually nothing. And I have, I don't know how many, don't hold me to it, roughly 20 major events, some of them with thousands of people showing up. And so I just think it's better. I always have an inclination, whether I was playing sports or doing politics, just to keep going, not stop. I just got to just pace myself a little more. Pace myself. And the next debate, I'm not going to be traveling in the 15 time zones a week before. Anyway, that's what it was about. That's what it was about. And by the way, even with that, I love my staff. But they add things all the time. At the very end, I'm catching hell from my wife.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. His wife is definitely... definitely giving him the worst part of the business here. I mean, it's true. I sort of am joking, but his wife really apparently is the one that is insulating him from everybody talking to him. You know, if you were in Congress right now, as many Democrats in Congress are, calling him to step down from the presidency and at least his candidacy. See, that's the funny thing. You don't really know what they're calling him to step down from because they're really, really worried about Donald Trump being president. They don't really seem to be worried about Joe Biden not being able to be president. So, yeah, you should step down as a candidacy for office, but nobody's calling him to step down from office. Or maybe they're two in the same. I don't really know. But they're definitely just worried about the election, not about the office of president, which I'll admit, and I've not really said this before, so it's a weird time to say it now, that if the roles were reversed... and this were a Republican president going through this, and the Democrats were watching from the outside like we are and going, oh my gosh, this is an absolute a fireball of a campaign coming down. I mean, it's destroying everything in its path. If that were happening and everything was the opposite of what it is, would I still vote for a Republican who is in this position? Yeah, I would, because, again, you're voting for ideology. It does concern me. And, like, again, with the tables turned, if I were voting for this man, now I'm not voting for Joe Biden, so it's hard to picture voting for somebody in this position. And I know what you're saying. You're going, Ryan, nobody would let it get to this position because the Democrat media would have reported this. That's all true. But I'm just saying, let's say in some situation, somehow, you had the exact opposite thing where Republicans were the ones in the White House and this were the issue for them and Democrats were on the outside going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Would you still vote for the Republican? Yes, but my biggest concern would be that this dude is actually in charge of not domestic stuff as much. Like, the domestic stuff, unfortunately, is run so much by a conglomerate of permanent Washington that a lot of the things you're not really going to notice a big difference if the president's not involved in them, because we've ceded so much control from our elected officials to people who are not unelected. The unelected government, that's the problem. But I would be worried about national security and international relations and wars and things. That does concern me. Even flipping the tables, that's what concerns me the most. Of course, Biden doesn't want you to think that he does have a problem, though. He wants you to know that he and his vice president have things firmly under control.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one, the fact is that the consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again.
Yeah, he's Vice President Trump is going to be on that ticket, and he's doing fine. President Biden wants you to know that he is fine and you should vote for him in November. I have a feeling, though, that these Democrats in Congress and otherwise in media and Hollywood, George Clooney, they can't actually get a hold of the president. I don't think if you're Chuck Schumer that you can actually go talk to Joe Biden right now. I think his wife, maybe his son, have completely isolated him and are running everything where nobody can say anything to him to change his mind. And he's probably not capable of changing his mind now. This is Wiggins America. Get the podcast by typing in Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring
listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.